think there's anything wrong at all about talking about my church, our church. But the truth is we have to remember who is the source of all good things. We must be grateful for what God is doing. It's not what we're doing. It is what God is doing. And He is the Lord and Father of the church. And if anything good happens in this local body, it's because of the work of His Spirit. If anything happens that is life-changing, it is because of the work of His Spirit. And if our hearts and our souls sing and resonate with what is happening and what we see going on in this church, it's because that's the way God designed us. God designed us to be in fellowship. God designed us to be together in this kind of family. And when we sense that God is doing something, it's because we're stepping into His will. And we're walking in the way that He designed us and desires us to walk. And that resonates with our spirit. When we are followers of Christ, that resonates with who we are. And our souls sing because we see what God is doing. But it's not that we're doing that. So our conversation over the next 4 weeks isn't going to be patting ourselves on the back, but it is rather going to be time spent praising God and glorifying Him and pointing to the ways that God desires to use this kind of body to change lives. But it's His body. Now, we obviously, you can imagine, like most churches, we have a vision statement. Now, just out of curiosity, I'm almost afraid to do this. Just out of curiosity, does anybody out there know our vision statement? If you do, raise your hand. All right, I see one hand, two, three. All right, I think we've got three. After today, every single person in this room can raise your hand. Here it is. Our multicultural church body, centered in Christ, strives to serve others with a heart of prayer, life-giving biblical teaching, life-changing worship, and life-enriching fellowship. You want me to read again, right?
Yeah.
Our multicultural church body, centered in Christ, strives to serve others with a heart of prayer, life-giving biblical teaching, life-changing worship, and life-enriching fellowship. Now, there is a short version. If you're a guest, you get an email from me, and somewhere in that email, I will mention that our tagline, the way we want to be known, is that we are where nations become family. Now, the vision statement is how that happens. But the result that we want is that the nations become family. And that's our desire. That's what we want. The way in which that happens is that we are centered in Christ and we have our hearts focused in prayer and we receive life-giving teaching and life-enriching fellowship. But the result is we become family. And if you're here this morning, you can just look around and you know God has brought the nations together and together we become family in Him. Now, this is a biblical concept when we think about church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, Paul says to this young pastor, he says, I hope to come to you soon, but I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. Now, Paul is writing to this young pastor. He's a young man named Timothy. That's where the books 1 and 2 Timothy get their names, from two letters that Paul wrote to Timothy. And Paul left Timothy in Ephesus in order to care for and shepherd. That was Timothy's calling, was to care for and shepherd this congregation while Paul went to Macedonia. Now, Ephesus was one of Paul's absolute favorites, even though it had its challenges as well. Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, an unusual amount of time. Paul didn't spend that much time in most of the places that he went, but in Ephesus, he spent 3 years with that young congregation. And then in order to help when he had to leave and he went to Macedonia, he left Timothy as the one who would pastor that church. And so when Paul writes Timothy about this church, he's writing about a church that he loves. And there's something very important about this idea of the household of God, of the family of God, with God as our Father. And in Paul's letters, he talks about God as Father 42 different times. That Paul says, God is our Father. He is the source. He is where we go. He is the originator of the idea of church. We didn't come up with it. It's God's idea. And He is the Father of the church. He is the source for everything that is good that happens in church. So Paul reminds us of that. And in verse 15, Paul reminds Timothy that should he be delayed, he wants Timothy to know something really important. And that is how to behave. I love, this is a great translation. How to behave in the household of God. Now, he's not talking about whether or not you can run in church. That's a whole separate issue. Or whether you bring your coffee inside or whatever. That's not the issues that he's talking about. That's not what he's talking about whenever he says how you behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God. He's not talking about the building. He's not talking about the physical structure. But rather, he's talking about what kind of attitudes we bring, what kind of behavior, how we interact with one another, what kind of relationships we have with one another. He's talking about how you and I live in life with one another in a way that builds each other up. So that when we leave our time together, we leave refreshed. Now, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes whenever you get around family, it's not exactly where you leave refreshed, right? Now, yeah, you're laughing because you've got family like this. And there's always that one uncle, you know, or aunt, or somebody in your family that you just say, all right, we're family, we've got to do it, we've got to go, it's been 4.5 years, it's time. And you're thinking, I don't want to go. And so, you know, you're doing the little, kind of the inch walk, you know. I'll go, but I'm not really willing. But here's the truth. What Paul is saying to Timothy is, you need to behave yourself in such a way that it's not like that in the family of God. So that when we come together, it's not a stressor, it's not a strain. It builds us up. It calls us to be more. It calls us to live in such a way that reflects the character of God. That's what the time together should do in our lives. It should encourage us. Now, you know, as Paul's talking about how do you behave in the household of God, it's not this way every place. If you have children, one of the conversations that you will have at some point is that conversation clarifying that not all families are the same. And one day your child is going to walk into the room and they're going to say, but in so-and-so's family, they do this. And your immediate response is, of course, going to be, I don't care what they do in their family. In our family, this is the way we do it, right? And, you know, I don't care if they only eat French fries for lunch. I don't care. You're going to eat your salad and you're going to like it. It may be that we encounter these situations in our families where we're living life and our children encounter these kind of things. And what Timothy is receiving from Paul is help to know how to live in the household of faith in a way that no matter where you go, no matter which household of faith you're a part of, local body of Christ you're a part of, you encounter some of the same things. Now the word that he uses, and I'm going to hurry through this so we don't go long, but I want to share a couple of things with you. This word that talks about his family, that's translated in the ESV as household of faith, is called oikos. There's your Greek word for the day. And it's a wonderful Greek word that has three distinct but related meanings. The first is family. It's your oikos, Susan and I, with our son Chris. That's our oikos with our strange uncle Fred. That's our oikos. We can't. That's not the one you select. That's the one that you're given in life. But the second meaning of oikos is household. And it's that broader, it's the larger circle. And especially in Greek life, your oikos would include servants, perhaps slaves. It would be anyone who interacted with you, was a part of your daily life. That's important. Remember that. So oikos could be that larger setting. And the third meaning of oikos is the physical structure, a house. And oikos can mean the house that you live in. That was the least used way of using it in biblical Greek, but it could mean the house. Now, by telling Timothy that the church is an oikos, Paul weaves all three of these meanings together to illustrate the critical role of the family. So first off, he says that being a part of the household of God, we're a part of a family. That is, there's an inward side to this. There's a level of intimacy. We know one another. We pray for one another. We're not strangers. And even though you may not have been there that long, here that long, we want to get to know you. That's our desire, is that we walk in fellowship with you. Not because we're trying to get into your business, but because we're family. We love one another. We know one another. We show up at the same location every week because this is where our family meets. There's a special connection because we have the same Father. Now, there's some ways in which that lives itself out. One is that we serve those in need in our family. In this family, we serve those in need. And some of you have encountered that. Some of you have been a part of that. Sally's testimony was a beautiful example of that, that we serve those who are in need, but we also pray for those who are hurting. We have a WhatsApp group. If you're a part of this church and are here on a regular basis, I'd love to add you to our WhatsApp group that we pray for one another. And as prayer requests come in, we pray for one another and pray for those who are hurting, but we also rejoice with those who rejoice. When there is time for a party, this is a great place to be, because we know how to fellowship and rejoice with one another in the good times. But the second meaning of that word is not just the family, but it's the household. This is the outward meaning of that. That is, that circle gets bigger, it gets larger. Where has God placed you? And what if you saw that as a part of your oikos? Because see, this in the biblical meaning of this, this were those who came and were a part of the household on a regular basis. Well, guess what? Our households now are the places where we work, the places we go to school, our neighborhoods. What if we began to see that? What if we drew our circles larger and we said, the people at work, they're a part of my oikos. They're a part of my household. They're a part of those that God has given me responsibility for. The people at your school, they're a part of your oikos. Your neighbors, your circle of friends, your extended family, they're a part of your oikos. And that very same thing that we do inwardly, we can also do outwardly, where we serve those that God has given us the opportunity to live in oikos with them, a part of the household of God. We can pray for them. There, you know, people, I have never had anyone in all my life, when I've asked, can I pray for you, I've never had anybody say no. You know, regardless of whether or not they are a follower of Christ, a believer, have any inclination, if they are going through a rough time and they've asked me, told me about that, and I've said, you know, could I pray with you? Would that be okay? I've never had a single person say no. Ever. So we can pray for those who are in our oikos. We can rejoice when things, good things happen. You know, sometimes the most surprising thing that you can do is rejoice when something good happens to somebody else. You got that raise. You got that promotion. Praise God. That's awesome. Huh? But you were also up for that same job. Yeah, I know. But I'm excited for you. I'm thankful for you. I'm glad for you. We can rejoice with others and sometimes have an incredible witness as we're a part of that. I was at a meeting last week. Susan and I were at a meeting last week in in Madrid. It was wonderful. We had some amazing food. You'll find that I talk a lot about food, sorry. We had some amazing food, but we also heard some great messages. And one person who is from South America, a pastor from South America, who's a part of our family with the International Baptist Convention, and he's in South America, and he said, you know, our church, he's a young guy, a young church, and he said, we just developed our own vision statement. We've never had one. And so he said, I want to tell you what our vision statement is. He says, we want to make heaven more crowded. Awesome. Awesome. Now, you know what's going to happen, don't you? You're going to go home and you're going to remember his vision statement, but not ours. I'm going to write ours down and send it to you so you have to learn it. No, I won't do that to you. But what a great vision statement. We want to make heaven more crowded. That's awesome. That's awesome because we can rejoice. We have a bigger circle than just this circle that we're called to. And the third thing is that there's a home. Now, he describes this in this last verse, in verse 15, he describes this with a couple of words. He says, it's a pillar and a buttress of the truth. Our behavior has to do with how we interact in the context of this family, the larger family, and then also the house. And he goes on, he uses these words, pillar and buttress, but these are not just, these are words that are used in a building, but I think we can draw from it that is something more. Because he says it is a pillar of the truth. It is a buttress of the truth. So what is he trying to say? First off, pillar of the truth. He's not saying that this church, this local oikos of God, or any, is the source of truth. Jesus says he himself is the truth. So Paul's not trying to replace Jesus as the source of truth with these things, but he's saying we live in obedience to the truth, and when that happens, the house, not the physical house, but the house, who we are, becomes stronger. It's built, we build one another up in the truth. That's how we build one another up. And there's this first, he talks about this column or pillar, and it's the what bears the weight of the building. You know, sometimes we feel like we're being crushed by the weight of the world. Sometimes the weight of life is almost crushing. And the thing that will hold us up is the truth as it is expressed through his family. When we express truth in people's lives in the hard times, we lift them up. A pillar, you're in a building, you're able to reach new heights, to grow and build up in ways that we couldn't imagine, but we do it by speaking the truth. We weren't designed to do it alone. We need one another. Now, last word, I'm about to wrap this up. Last word here is buttress. Now, how many of you know what a buttress is? All right, a couple. We've got a couple of architects. And the architects are going, oh yeah, I got that. Yeah, this is an unusual word in the New Testament. You don't need to know it, but it's only used this one time. In the entire New Testament, this word is only used one time. It can mean foundation, but there are other words for foundation. And so the ESV has translated this as buttress. Now, these are buttresses, the diagonal things here. They strengthen, they hold up, they prevent the wall from collapsing. That's what the truth does. It holds us up. It prevents us from collapsing in the face of life's challenges. The word is a buttress. The truth is a buttress. And I love that translation of it, that in Christ we find the truth, that when we encourage one another up with the truth, when we lift one another with the truth, we reinforce in such a way that life doesn't collapse. It's not what you build upon, but rather it is built against the wall to give it strength and support. This is family. This is family, but it is family as God designed it. Most of our human families we recognize the brokenness of the world. And we recognize the brokenness of the world and sin in our church family at times as well. But we are at our best when we live in a way that reflects who God has designed us to be. We are family. Would you pray with me, please? Father, as we